Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Now, moving on to our next segment. And our next segment is the Grow Model. And we do have the pastor standing by to talk us through our next segment, which is Pastor Skinner Chiwanda. Pastor Foster Skinner Chiwanda, good afternoon to you and welcome. Thank you very much once again for joining us.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much.
Thank you. We're still talking about the importance of continuous learning in spiritual matters. And this week's topic has been explained in so many ways, very interesting. And today, we're focusing on lifelong learning in discipleship. So when we talk of discipleship, we speak of discipleship as the making of disciples for Christ. Discipleship is an ongoing process, though. A process that involves continual learning and continual growth. As followers of Christ, we're called not only to learn about all, to teach also, not only to learn, not only to be taught, not only to be made disciples, but to make disciples and teach others as well, fostering a culture of lifelong spiritual development for yourself and for others. That's why we're talking to Pastor Chiwanda today. And Mfundisa, how does continuous learning enhance your ability to disciple others?
I found this question very, very good and interesting. It reminded me the words of Jesus in Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go ye therefore and make disciples." The Greek language itself has connotations of continuous learning, continuous teaching, as both mission and strategy in the mandate that Christ gives. So I got very interested to check the words in Greek there. And I found that the connotations are keep on learning, teaching, training, keep on being my disciple as you keep on discipling others. Keep on following me as others follow me because of you following me. Keep on baptizing, immersing, plunging yourself and others into the love of God and his life of righteousness. Keep on being purified in the name and the character of God. So to answer the question, continuous learning enhances your ability to disciple others because it also enhances your deeper connectivity with Jesus Christ. It fosters connectivity and relatability with others in their struggles and needs in life. You are motivated to be selfless, to be considerate, empathetic, and to act in service to satisfy the needs of others, therefore creating them as disciples behind you, disciples of Christ. It equips you with fresh insights and practical wisdom to apply and share with others. It boosts confidence in God and strengthens your own faith, creating you into a credible guide of others in spiritual matters. It makes you compassionate to those facing challenges as you empathize and offer them support. That's how I could answer the question for now.
Pastor, why is it important for Christians to keep growing even after years of faith? I mean, if you've been experienced in this thing, why should you continue to learn? Why is it important to keep growing even after years of faith?
The expression "after years of faith" was kind of mystical to me. I said, which are after years of faith? Do you have an explanation to that?
There are people who have spent years with God. For example, we have a story of Moses who spent 40 years with God traveling. And we would love to believe that those years of being serving God, leading his children through the desert, That's experience, and that's what we do in our curriculum vitae. We put our years of experience, and that presupposes that if you have done this for so many years, therefore, you are experienced, you know what you're doing, therefore. That's what we're asking about.
Why should you continue studying, learning?
Something that you already know so well. Presumably.
Okay, now you have helped me understand after years of faith. So to me, there are no after years of faith. All years are years of faith. So there is need for continuous growth. And the reason for that is that continuous growth deepens one's understanding of God and His Word. Continuous growing makes you marvel at the greatness and the glory of God, and you rejoice in understanding His awesomeness. Continuous growth keeps you getting transformed day in, day out. You keep on changing into the similitude of the image of Jesus Christ. So continuous growth keeps you relevant to changing life circumstances as you live on. Continuous growth makes you a light to others for the glory of God. And continuous growth also develops your character into Christ-likeness, reflecting the love of God. That's how I could try to answer that question.
So how can it, or how can sharing what we learn inspire others to seek God more actively?
Yes. Sharing what we learn inspires curiosity in us and in those we share with. It boosts our impetus to learn more continuously, so that we are also relevant and bringing in new stuff to those we are sharing with. It incentivizes us to explore more as an exciting journey of new discoveries of truth. It motivates us to share more and more with others without ceasing. Sharing combines sharing struggles and victories through trusting God, which makes others learn and get encouragement from us. Those we share with are also motivated to seek God in their struggles and in their challenges. Sharing creates and fosters relational bonding into spiritual discipleship teams that keep on learning and keep on sharing and keep on discipling others for Jesus Christ. Sharing reveals God's love and His goodness. And those we share with seek God in our narratives, in our stories, and in our experiences. Sharing glorifies God as we all praise God for the things that He has done in our community of faith. And sharing continuously helps us foster learning and continuity in the discipleship ministry, as its main fruit, the fruit of that ministry, which is the fruit of sharing lessons learned from Jesus, from His Word, and what we learn from each other as we interact in the sharing discipleship ministry.
Keep sharing, Fundis. Keep sharing ways to incorporate ongoing learning to your daily walk with Christ. What are those ways?
You asked me?
Yes, I'm asking you I was asking you to share with us ways. What are the ways, or some of the ways, to incorporate ongoing learning into one's daily walk with Christ?
Priority time, good time with God, devotional time with, daily devotional time with God, reading the Bible, meditating over the Word of God and the life of Jesus, as we talked the other day, and praying to apply the Word of God wisely in your daily experiences. That includes Bible studies, to learn lessons from the life, from the Bible, and garner principles and values of life from God's teachings. It can be personal Bible study on your own, or it can also be group Bible study where you share insights and viewpoints through interaction. It can also be on gathering God's Word from online sources, which can be used to learn spiritual lessons. As we talked the other day, don't forget journalizing, recording what God has revealed, the new lessons, the new insights, God's answers to your prayers in this discipleship and growing environment. And it is important also to have a mentor, and also be a mentor. Role modeling discipleship creates a multiplicity of ripple effects, gives additional statistics to exponential growth of the body of Christ, so that the discipleship is a multiplication kind of exercise. As Jesus puts it in John 15, verse 8, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father, he says.
Final question then, Pastor. How does doing or being a lifelong learner reflect Christ's patience and Christ's grace?
Right. Lifelong learning reflects Christ's patience and grace through your own humility. As a disciple, you are to be like Christ in humility. That reflects the attitude of a humble child towards the teacher's authority in his teachings, and that teacher is Christ himself. So you are like confessing, admitting, acknowledging that you don't know everything. You must keep on learning. And then you develop patience with yourself, patience with oneself, and patience with others in the course of learning, teaching, and discipling. Because people make mistakes. People get into sure inadequacies, but you have to be patient with yourself, patient with each other, just as God is patient with us, handles us with care. Growth takes time, so it involves inadequacies and mistakes, calling for patience. Forgiveness also has to come into that environment because of the grace of God, which also becomes grace on our part, so that as God forgives us, we also learn to forgive others for their mistakes in the course of learning and discipleship. It requires faith in the righteousness of Jesus Christ as our own righteousness, and in the abundance of his grace, where sin much more abounds, even grace also much more abounds. So trusting in God's forgiveness, you extend it to yourself. You can also forgive yourself and forgive others for the mistakes we have made, so that you keep on trusting God. You can be, it also helps you to be kind and understanding to yourself. You understand yourself and be kind to yourself, so that you can express the same to others as you draw from this grace of God and his patience with you as you disciple others.
Ooh.
Expressing Christ's image in the process.
You know, Pastor, I thought that was the last question. Now you're raising something else.
What is it?
You're saying you must forgive yourself? We don't see that.
So.
We don't see that anywhere in the Bible. There is nowhere in the Bible where it speaks about forgiving yourself.
But you know what? You know where I get that from?
Yes, Pastor.
Jesus says, "Love your God with all your heart, your strength, and all." And then he says, "Love others as you love yourself." So if you are able to forgive others, what makes it difficult for you to forgive yourself?
I've never heard of anyone.
Think about it. You know, sometimes
I understand the logic. I understand the logic there, Pastor. I just don't see it being a biblical logic. But I understand. So you're saying, even though the Bible doesn't teach that, we can deduce from the fact that God wants us to forgive others, he wants us to forgive ourselves as well.
You know what, sir? There are so many things that we think the Bible didn't teach us.
Yes.
When the Bible has taught us so many things. So many things we may say, the Bible doesn't say this. But when you listen to the Bible, you say, this is what the Bible is saying. This is what the Bible is saying.
Okay.
So what I'm saying to us is that as we are able to forgive others, God has said we must forgive others. It's a must to forgive others. We must also be able to forgive ourselves. Not that we should indulge into sin and say, I'll forgive myself. That's nonsense. But to say, hey, look what I have done. Lord, forgive me. My friend, forgive me. And you also say, let me forgive myself. I will never do this again.
Okay. Okay, all right, we'll take what the pastor is saying. Thank you very much, Mpundisi.
We ended on a lasting note.
Yes, Mpundisi. We still have one more day tomorrow. Please don't disappear, Mpundisi. We'll talk again tomorrow. But for now, have a wonderful day, Mpundisi. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much. You too.
Part of the conversation, send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520. or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.